Welcome to The Roundup, where we tackle big health topics from the outback to the tropics. I'm your host, Alyssa Hatherley, a local GP and head of James Cook University's Clinical School in Mackay. In each episode, you'll hear from experienced clinicians sharing expert insights on key regional health issues, best practice approaches, and practical strategies to improve patient care in regional and rural settings. Before we begin, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, their contributions to healthcare, and the traditional owners of the lands in which we practice and provide education. In today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Dean Taylor, who's the Medical Education Lead for the RFDS in Queensland. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you for having me, Alyssa.
Dean, you've been an aeromedical retrieval doctor for a long time now. How did you get to this point?
Yes, it's been an interesting and varied career and one that I really love. So my background is that I'm a rural generalist with GP anaesthetics and GP ED qualifications and experience. And it's sort of, I fell into retrievals very early in my career, earlier than we'd be allowed to start now, which was both a joy and a challenge at the time. And I've undertaken retrievals from Tasmania to the Territory. And for the last 24 plus years, I've been working with RFDS in Queensland and sort of throughout the state, now based up in Cairns.
Oh, what a fantastic career. Can you give our listeners an idea of what draws you to retrieval medicine, Dean?
For sure. So I think there's a number of components to it. It is an area that you're really helping people in need. And with RFDS, we're going to those rural and remote areas that sort of are really underserviced. So providing services to those most in need is very rewarding. I also enjoy the challenges of working outside the hospital. So having to think on your feet and adapt. We don't have all the benefits of CT scans and MRIs and everything. So we've got to go with our clinical assessment, working in small teams and working across disciplines. So the retrieval team for RFDS consists of a pilot, a flight nurse and a doctor. So you work very closely with them, playing to each other's strengths and working the best you can to troubleshoot the challenges that arise.
It's fantastically rewarding work. You're not the first retrieval doctor who has said that to me. But sometimes you are working under really difficult conditions, aren't you? Like flooding or drought. Taking care of yourselves while you're trying to take care of others can be really difficult, can't it?
Yes, it can. And sort of being based in Cairns, we're obviously in the wet season at the moment, and that affects the communities that we're travelling to. It also affects the ability of us to actually land. So some places, particularly stations where we respond to, have got dirt strips and they can become unsafe to land on in the wet season. So we need to get creative in how we solve that. And sort of as a RFDS space, we were severely impacted by the flooding after Cyclone Jasper last year. So we're still working out of dongas in our car park there to keep the service going. And that's rebuilding happening there. And we're looking forward to being back under one roof because dongas in the wet season haven't been perfect.
No, dongas at the best of times are imperfect, aren't they? Now, Dean, when you are preparing to head out to collect a patient who's in need, communication from the team, whether it's a local doctor or a small hospital or even station hands on a rural station, as you mentioned, that must be incredibly important, getting the right information so that you can be as well prepared as possible.
Absolutely. Retrieval is really a team sport with communication as the centre of it all. And I mentioned the immediate retrieval team of the pilot, flight nurse and doctor. There's also the broader retrieval team, which consists of everyone on the ground with the patient themselves, the receiving hospital, the broader RFDS system, and the retrieval system in Queensland, which is coordinated by Retrieval Services Queensland, which is a Queensland Health section. And without getting the right info, well, without knowing about the patient, so communication to give us lead that there's a patient there, obviously no retrieval will happen. And then we need all sorts of information to provide the best retrieval. And that's from the patient's clinical condition so that we can provide support to people on the ground about what to do until we get there. We need to know the right asset to send to collect a patient, and that involves knowing the patient's weight, what the logistics are, what the airstrip suitability is like at that location. What's wrong with the patient determines where we're going, and we need to communicate closely with our aviation colleagues because fuel and capability of aircraft is an important decision maker on what we're going to send and where we're going. An example would be that the aircraft we fly in at this base are a compromise between the ability to get into smaller airstrips, which is our priority, and the ability to manage the full gamut of patients. And because of that, we lean on our colleagues at other bases with aircraft that have got bigger doors to get the bariatric type patient or helicopters, but we can fly in and stabilize the patients until they get there, if that's the case.
Now, Dean, you use the term asset. You're talking about the different types of aircraft, aren't you? Whether it's a helicopter or a fixed-wing aircraft, is that right?
Correct. In general, yes. So, being a aeromedical retrieval, we're focused on that, and I fly predominantly in the fixed-wing RFDS aircraft. If we have a patient that would better be served by a helicopter, which happens when there's no airstrip nearby and there's helicopters within range, then we organise that through Retrieval Services Queensland. Sometimes the most appropriate response is actually to send a Queensland ambulance vehicle to meet the patient and get them into the local hospital to stabilise them or provide definitive care. And occasionally we need to get creative with local people on the ground. Example would be recently with all the flooding, we've had calls from remote properties where the roads are cut with all the flooding. The airstrip is sort of basically flooded and unusable, and they're too far away for one of the retrieval helicopters to be able to respond in a timely fashion. Fortunately, there's a few mustering helicopters around, and we've certainly used those to get people to somewhere where we can meet them and sort of provide the ongoing aeromedical retrieval. People in the bush are resourceful, which is fantastic.
And creative, how
Yes.
exciting for you, not for the patient, of course. Now,
No.
when you are thinking about collecting that patient and you've coordinated the most appropriate resources, what else do you need to be thinking about so that that patient is as well prepared for retrieval as possible?
Yeah, so we always want to optimize the patient's care before we get there. And if they're sort of on a station, that might be using the RFDS medical chest, which is a sort of box that we've got with a lot of acute medicines in it to help people in remote locations. So it might be giving antibiotics or pain relief, or possibly adrenaline if anaphylaxis is the issue we're dealing with. If it's a remote clinic or hospital, then providing support to the clinicians there to provide the best possible care for the patient that we're bringing out, whether that's an illness or injury. And again, we lean on the support of our telehealth doctors that we all also have in our network, and the Retrieval Service Queensland telehealth emergency consultants and medical coordinators to provide that support whilst we're on our way as well. I think it's important that people are sort of don't make the decision that they've called for a retrieval, and they can relax about the patient. They need to be providing ongoing care until we arrive.
And sometimes that includes even just making sure the patient has been able to go to the toilet before the retrieval and making sure for yourselves that you're going to be able to be fed and have something to drink, I suppose, too, because some of these expeditions take hours, don't they, Dean?
Yes, pretty much all our expeditions take hours. So it's important that, yeah, it's sort of if we're in a sort of going to a hospital or a clinic for their medical management being optimized, if they're suitable to eat, that they've had something to eat and drink beforehand, because it may be that the retrieval might take sort of 2 hours flying, or this time of year with weather and the need to refuel, possibly 3 hours of flying plus an ambulance ride to get to the destination hospital. And our total mission time from the time we get the call to go to the time that we're back at base after a task can be easily up to sort of 8 hours is definitely possible. So we do need to make sure that we've got some drinks and water on the aircraft for ourselves, and we don't have toilets on the aircraft. So, yeah, and making sure that our patients and ourselves are sorted out in that respect is saves embarrassment on the trip.
That's a very polite way of putting it, Dean. Now, in terms of those assets that you were mentioning, that resource for retrieval is incredibly limited, isn't it?
It is. So we've got number of bases across the state, but it's sort of in Cairns at any one time. There is one aircraft with one crew available to respond. Sorry, one aeroplane with RFDS, and then there's a helicopter with under RSQ's auspices. Townsville's our next closest base, and it's got two aircraft available during the day, one overnight, and a helicopter. So there's limited number of vehicles available to move people, and that obviously becomes challenging when, as often happens, we've got more people to move than space on aircraft. And then it's just like in the emergency department, there's a triage process, and we get people as quickly and efficiently as we can, with the more unwell people being collected as soon as possible. And we also take into consideration the resource that are available locally. So a small hospital might be able to really provide the definitive management for someone in septic shock, but someone on a station, sort of, there's no chance that they can do that. So we'd be trying to get them as quickly as possible, as an example.
And I know, as the clinician who has had to, on occasion, phone Retrieval Services Queensland to ask for assistance, it's a decision that you really agonise over, knowing how limited those resources are. But you can feel relaxed in the knowledge, or reassured in the knowledge, perhaps, that there's a big team of people helping to coordinate this. So all you have to do is ask for help, and the broader team will actually work out how and when to actually facilitate that retrieval.
Yeah, I think that's really important. If you have a patient in front of you and you think they may need retrieval, the sooner we know about that patient, the sooner we can fit them into the schedule and get them to a place that can provide the definitive care. So rather than agonise over should we, shouldn't we call, if in doubt, talk to the medical coordinator if you're in the hospital. And sort of, you can have a conversation and make a shared decision there. I think simple decisions work well with standard operating procedures. Complex decisions or those grey areas, shared decision making is the best way to go.
Oh, Dean, I think you've given us a fantastic insight into some of the fantastic experiences and opportunities that retrieval medicine offers, and what an important, well, it's a vital service for regional and remote people, and even people in large regional centres who might need the care from tertiary hospitals nearby. We've talked about the breadth of the activity, the importance of communication, how problem solving is the key to this work, involving not just health professionals, but station hands, volunteer marine rescue, anyone who might be able to lend a hand in those cases. Preparing the patient is vital, and the importance of the safety of the staff operating and working in these retrieval teams is so important too. The limitations of the resources we have available to us, but the fact that it's coordinated in Queensland using Retrieval Services Queensland helps to take some of that planning difficulty away from the clinician on the ground. Now, Dean, is there anything else you think you need to tell us about the fantastic opportunities retrieval medicine offers?
I think you've summarised it beautifully there. I would say that anyone thinking about doing, sort of interested in retrieval medicine, get in contact with your local retrievalists, get that experience. We have retrieval specialists from a variety of backgrounds, as I said. And sort of, I'm a rural generalist, and we've got a number of rural generalists across the network. We've got a number of people from ED backgrounds, anaesthetics, and ICU. The requirements to get into retrieval medicine in Queensland are quite high, so you do need experience in intensive care anaesthetics, ED, paediatrics, and from the RFDS perspective, ideally obstetrics. And so we don't have junior people doing this role, but if you know the requirements and you're interested, you can plan your junior years so that you tick those boxes and you're ready to go in retrieval medicine as a potential career or as a part career to give you some variety from your normal work.
We love variety from our normal work, don't we, Dean? Dr.
I
Dean.
certainly do. Yep.
Dr. Dean Taylor, a retrieval medicine specialist with a background in general practice, GP anaesthetics, and general practice emergency department work. Thank you so much for joining us from Cairns today.
It's been my pleasure. All the best to the listeners too. Thank you.
For more information about the Roundup, or to share your feedback and ideas for future episodes, visit nqrth.edu.au/roundup-podcast or contact us at nqrth.mackay@jcu.edu.au. We also want to advise that the views and opinions presented in this podcast are those of the speaker only and do not represent the views and opinions of James Cook University, Northern Queensland Regional Training Hubs, or Queensland Health. The content supplied in this podcast is not intended as medical advice and is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Northern Queensland Regional Training Hubs is an initiative of the Australian Government's Integrated Rural Training Pipeline and is facilitated by James Cook University in partnership with public and private hospitals, Queensland Aboriginal and Islander Health Council, health services, Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations, and general practice clinics.